For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, October the 15th, 1978, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas, with Reverend Lee Ellenwood of San Fernando, California, teaching on the tabernacle. This is tape 6 of a 6 series messages.
Lord, I just want to say that it's been a real joy to minister to you. I don't have much of a family myself, and so the Lord has kind of spoken to my heart that He was going to give me a family. And so everywhere I go, I'm meeting my brothers and my sisters and uncles and grandpas and so on. You don't know what that means. I'll explain that to you sometime. But God has just a wonderful family. So I'm meeting some that I haven't met for a long time, and then I'm meeting some new ones. God is forming a beautiful fellowship, a beautiful family. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad to be in it? Why don't you stand just a moment and take a good deep breath of air. Wave your arms around or something. Let's go flying, huh? Eagle faint. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Got it now? All right. You may be seated. I think I better say goodbye to you all right now, because we'll be a little crowded for time, and I have to pack yet and go over to Malvern and get a little rest or something between services. So I'll just say goodbye to you now. The Lord bless every one of you. And I just want to tell you I love every one of you very much. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll look forward to coming back, the Lord willing, and talk to you about warfare. And you want to get ready for that while reading the book of Judges, because I found out a while back that the book of Judges is an end-time book. You didn't know that, did you? It isn't old dry history. It's a very thrilling, exciting book for the end time. So you might read in the book of Judges. I won't have time to go through the whole book, but we'll take probably the first 6 or 7 chapters during the convention, so you can be prepared for that. Also, I would like to suggest to you that we give things in a series, and that's why I stay in a place about 4 days, or at the most about 5, because we present a continuity of things. That's why we like to have people come to the first meeting and come right straight through, because you'll have some blank spots in there, and you'll wonder what something is all about. So I just always urge you to be at the first meeting and come right straight through. Now, over in Malvern, I'm going to talk on the same things I've talked here. So I'm just warning you. And so if you come over there, you have to hear the same things again. We're always glad to have you. Praise the Lord. All right, now, this afternoon, we want to finish up this phase of the Holy of Holies that we're talking to you about. Now, we're going to put here just the sacred building. Not the outer court, but just the sacred building. Remember that this is the soma, or the body of Christ. And the holy place down here is the soma, or is the body of the body. And this part up here is the head of the body. And so down here in the holy place, we have the table of showbread. Over here we have the lampstand, which is the symbol of the whole area. And then up here we have the golden altar of incense, and we talked to you about the table of showbread, and we haven't said anything about the lampstand, and that's exciting too. And then we talked to you about the golden altar of incense, and then up here we have the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat with a cherubim over the mercy seat. And this, in effect, is the throne of God. All right, now this is just the holy place. Keep in mind now that this is the body of the body, and this is the head of the body. What connects the body of the body with the head of the body? All right, the neck. All right, keep that in mind. Here's the neck right in here. Now, this all equates with the mountain of the Lord. And God tells us all of these truths over again in terms of the mountain of the Lord. So here we have Jerusalem, and we'll say there's a wall around Jerusalem. And in the days of Abraham, you remember that, or in the days of Melchizedek, you remember that Abraham visited the mountain. He visited Jerusalem. He visited Moriah, because Moriah is one of the hills in Jerusalem. So Abraham was there. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God, and the name of this city was Salem, the shortened form of Jerusalem. And so Abraham had been there. But somehow, this didn't quite fit the description of that city without foundation. And so Abraham left. He didn't remain. Up here is a hill in the midst of Jerusalem called Moriah. And it was here that Abraham offered his son Isaac. All right, later on we come back to the mountain. And in the days of David. Now, they had conquered this mountain when they came into the land. They conquered this mountain, and then they'd lost it. But God was about ready to have a king among his people, and he had appointed Zion to be the place of the kingship. So Zion is another hill in Jerusalem. The psalmist tells us that the foundations of God are in his holy mountain. And so there are two hills or mountains in Jerusalem in which God has set his foundation. One is Moriah, and the other is Zion. These two mountains. This is how God tells us many things. All right, so up here, the Jebusites had made a garrison. And here are all of the Jebusites up here. And here's David and his men down here. If I have time someday, I'll give you the full treatment on this. All of you people here that want to know about the manifestation of the sons of God, here's a wonderful picture of it. And so David said, he would give his daughter to the man who came up first into the mountain and defeated the Jebusites. And so they found a hole down here in the bottom of the mountain. How did David know about this hole? Well, it's quite possible that when his ancestor Abraham had visited Melchizedek there, that the hole existed then. Some people think it did. And maybe Melchizedek had shown it to Abraham. And so the knowledge of this hole had been passed on down all through the years. But they knew about this hole, and there was a tunnel. And this tunnel went on up into the mountain and came out up in the top of the mountain of Zion. And so Joab and his men went up the tunnel, and then they emerged up in the top of the mountain. When they emerged, this was the manifestation of the sons of God. And they took the mountain. And so David had his throne upon Mount Zion. Okay. I'm just kind of piquing your curiosity again. That's right. That's where we are now, see? All right, don't work on that too hard, because I'd like to give that to you when I come back. I have a lot of fun giving that one. I dramatize it and so on, you know. Praise the Lord. See, a lot of people think they can just sit around and someday they're going to become the manifested sons of God. Don't you believe it? God's going to take you through a tunnel. And you're going to get scratched and bruised, and your clothes are going to get worn out at the knees and so on, you know. It's going to be quite rough. It's going to be steep. All right, now, later on, God brought emphasis to the two mountains. See, over here is Zion. There's a valley in between, and over here is Moriah. And this is Jerusalem, but he chooses these two mountains. Over in the book of Zechariah, we find that there's a time when these two mountains are going to be brass. See, I'm just suggesting all kinds of things to you to work on. They're going to be brass, because God's going to use these two mountains to bring judgment. So over on Zion, we have the kingship. Here's where David had his throne. And over on Moriah, we have the priesthood. All right, now this equates with the Holy of Holies. Over here, we have priesthood. And over here, we have the kingship. And when we come up into the Holy of Holies, We come up on the left side of the throne. We come up in priesthood. This is how we go in. And then we come out as kings and priests, as it was in the days of Melchizedek, because Melchizedek was a king and a priest at the same time. Now, all of you people who want to be kings, remember that before you can be a king, you first have to be a priest. And God really means it. Right now. Right now. You have to be a priest unto God. And then God takes these priests, as we find in Zechariah, and he puts crowns upon them, and they become kings. And then they go out. They go out and administer the government of God. First they cleanse the rest of the body, and then they go out here and cleanse the outer court. All right, so we have two mountains here during the days of Israel. Now, when we come down to our context, you see, because we are this sacred building, we showed you that this is the company of spirit-filled people, not just believers, but spirit-filled believers. And so down in our day, you see, God is forming the royal priesthood. And so we're going to be after the order of Melchizedek, because Melchizedek was a king and a priest at the same time. In Israel, it wasn't so. A man was either a king or a priest. He couldn't be both. But God is bringing forth a priesthood and a kingship all in one in the end time. And so this mountain in the end time is called Zion, and it's also Moriah, although now the name Moriah begins to fade out because the work of Moriah, the threshing floor, is getting over with now. And so in the end time, God emphasizes the name Zion. There's only one peak in the city of God. They're brought together in one. God considers now just one mountain in the city. And so here's Jerusalem, and this is probably a picture of the full sacred building people. John saw this as the new Jerusalem, and in the foundation he saw the names of the apostles. The apostles are in the bottom of the mountain as foundation, but the sons of God are in the top of the mountain as the Zion people, the Moriah people, the high priesthood and the high kingship. Represented by Aaron here and by David over here. Because Aaron was the first high priest and David was the first king of the new dynasty. Praise the Lord. Got all that now? All right. Now, this is kind of an outline for some of the things that are coming. Okay. Let's see. What do we do now? I want to give you four scriptures this afternoon. Because we're still talking on how to come up into the Holy of Holies. I'm going to give you four scriptures. One scripture is found over in the 91st Psalm. 91st Psalm. Now, the 91st Psalm is a psalm that belongs in the end time and to the Holy of Holies people. This is its true context. End time and Holy of Holies. All right. He that dwelleth. Now, this is that Hebrew word that means to sit down that we talked about last night. That's why I had to talk to you last night about sitting down. Because, you see, that is preliminary to this. We found that there were many people that were sitting down in benches all in the outer court, and some were sitting down in the bathtub. But here the psalmist says, he that sits down in the secret place, and the Hebrew word for secret place is S-E-T-R, and we can pronounce it Sefer. Sefer. Nobody actually knows how these words were pronounced, but this is the way that it would be pronounced in modern Israeli. All right. So, he that sits down in Sefer. He that sits down in Sefer. Last night we gave it to you in terms of the bosom of God. He that comes into the bosom of God, it says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. All right, the word abide here in the Hebrew means literally, he's going to have lodging for the night. Lodging for the night. And he's going to be under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, I want to give you just a little thing here, not completely, but just to help us. It was a time when, until recently, when this thing about shadow bugged me. And I read about Peter's shadow and all the wonderful things that happened when Peter's shadow fell upon people. Ananias and Sapphira fell dead. This is another picture of the cleansing of the body of Christ's church. And when people that have demons and diseases and so on were brought to Peter's shadow, then these people were delivered and healed. But I used to tell the people up in Oregon and Washington, I said, now, I don't know what you would do if you were to invite Peter up in the Northwest to minister because it's always cloudy up there. I said, you'd probably have to invite him for about 3 months, and maybe once in a while you'd have a couple of hours of sunshine in the middle of the day, you know. And you couldn't have him minister on the north side of the street because you'd have to have the sun shining in order to have a shadow. So this thing about the shadow really bothered me. Kept gnawing away at me. And so I studied it in the Greek. I went into the Hebrew. I even went to the dictionary, which is something I never do. I thought, well, maybe in the dictionary I can get a clue to it. Nothing. And then one day I was in a place and during the worship, and this has happened several times, in the worship, God brought my attention to the Mount of Transfiguration. And so I began to read in the scriptures about what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there it says that a bright cloud overshadowed him. Now, I had never thought to look up the word overshadow, the shadow. And I discovered something, that God's shadow is not a dark thing, it's a bright thing. A bright cloud overshadowed them. All right, what did Peter have then? A dark thing surrounding him? No. The shadow that Peter had was a radiance. A radiance. Maybe you could see it, maybe you couldn't see it. It wouldn't make any difference. But his shadow, Peter's shadow, was a bright thing. And this is a picture of what God's going to do in the end time. These that come up into step there are going to come back out into the body of Christ and out into the kingdom. And wherever they go, they're going to carry with them the radiance of God. And all kinds of things are going to happen. The hypocrites are going to be destroyed. Demons are going to have to flee. Tempters will wither up. Handkerchiefs can be taken from the radiance and put on somebody else. And as we call, and they're going to be healed and so on. And even Antichrist is going to be destroyed by the brightness of this appearing. God's shadow is a bright thing. A bright thing. So here it says in the 91st Psalm, that he that dwelleth in Sethair of the Most High shall have lodging for the night under the radiance of the Almighty. Boy, that first verse, that just seems off here, doesn't it? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. All right, the context now is the end time and the Holy of Holies. All right, down in the fourth verse, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Where are the wings of God? They're expressed here in the cherubim. See, there are some people that are going to come up into Sethair, the secret place. A lot of people want to go up in there and get one or two of the feathers, you know, and make their own nest somewhere out here. Can't be done. God's not going to let you pull the feathers out of his wings. You've got to come up under his wings. There's only one place where the feathers are found, and that's in the Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go back now to the second verse. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. And I'm going to trust in him. Now, a lot of people get into this kick, and they think that some people are born predestined to live here or somewhere else. I don't believe in that. Last night, we gave you the short form on how to come into the Holy of Holies. Does anybody remember it? All right, what's the first thing? Confess. The second thing? Submit. All right, here the psalmist confesses. And he says, I will say of Jehovah, he is my refuge. Want to come into the Holy of Holies? Here it is. Lord, you're my refuge, and you're my fortress. You confess it. Now, in the first verse, again, he that dwelleth, the initiative is with the individual.
He that dwelleth. The Word of God, for example, tells us that Enoch walked with God. It doesn't say God walked with Enoch. I think there were times when God would like to have been kept of Enoch. But Enoch said, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. So here's God going along, and here comes Enoch running up by his side. And wherever God went, Enoch went. From that time on, God had no more privacy. Enoch just fastened himself to God, and wherever Enoch, where God went, Enoch went along with him. You know, like some of your older brothers or something, you want to go fishing, and your little brother says, I want to go with you. You don't want him with you because he's going to walk along the bank there and roll rocks in the water and disturb the water and so on and chase the fish away. And so you tell him, go home, go home. And so he backs up a little bit, so you're going on fishing, and after a while you look around, there he is back there again. You might even pick up a rock and throw at him, you know. But he's persistent. He's going to stick with you. He's going to go with you. That's the way Enoch was. And that's the way the Holy of Holies people are going to be. They're going to latch on to God. They're going to take the initiative. They're going to say, God, where you go, I'm going to go. So God got stuck with him. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's stuck with us, too, some of his people. He's really stuck with it. So the initiative on coming up into the Holy of Holies is upon us. And I always kind of come against this idea that some people are born, you know, to be in the high places and others aren't. It isn't that at all. You see, God gives an invitation. And then we validate that invitation by accepting it. When we do this, then we are chosen of God. Before we're chosen of the Lord, we first have to accept his calling, then we're chosen. That simple. A lot of people get the idea that some are chosen, some aren't. It isn't that at all. God's giving an invitation to everybody. There's a line of people, you know, and God says, how many of you will volunteer to go into the Holy of Holies? And here's 8 or 10 people, and they all step forward. Then the Lord says, well, I choose you then. But you have to step forward first. Then he chooses you. See, this is my old Methodist background, where whosoever will people. I've never met a good Presbyterian. All right, now, going on down to the 9th verse. Here again, we have a little insight as to how to come into the Holy of Holies. And this is expressed by the word because, and it's found here 3 times in verse 9, first of all. Because thou hast made Jehovah, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy sitting down place. You've made him your sitting down place. All right, and then down in the 14th verse, again, the word because comes twice. Because he has set his love upon me. God talking here. To come into the Holy of Holies, then, we set our love upon God. And if there are alternatives, God has always had choice. And then, at the end of the verse, because he hath known my name. These three sentences beginning with because. Link them together here, and this is a little way that God has of telling us how to come into set there. Because thou hast known my name. The name of God expresses the nature of God. And these people love the nature of God. What is God's nature? Essentially, God's nature is expressed by the word holy. Everything up in the Holy of Holies is holy. We set our affection upon the name of God or upon the nature of God. And so we want holiness. Nothing unclean is ever going to go through the veil. It all has to be dropped out here. But we love the name of God or the nature of God. And so we seek after his holiness. All right, now, just very quickly here. We find in the 5th verse, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. When the storm breaks, when the tribulation breaks, it's going to go night and day. Night and day. 7th verse, people are going to fall all around. But lots of them nigh thee, and we'll find out why in a moment. 8th verse, their eyes are going to see the reward of the wicked. And it says, that no plague shall come nigh thy sitting down place. Now, I'm going to say a little something here. And I want to say it carefully because I don't want to be misunderstood.
See, there are many people in these days that are seeking for a place of refuge. Out in California, they want a place over on the Colorado River or Arizona or Arkansas or the Ozarks or somewhere. A place of refuge. Now, I believe that God is bringing forward places of refuge, but it's not for the Holy of Holies people. Where's your refuge? Your refuge is the secret place of the Most High. Your refuge is Sethel, the Holy of Holies. Now, anything that God tells us before Revelation 1:1 is going to be fulfilled after Revelation 1:1. So we come to Revelation, the fourth chapter, and Sethel is opened up. We can look into it. You don't understand the book of Revelation at all unless you understand the tabernacle and temple structure. And so in 4:1, the door is open and it's opened up to us so we can look into Sethel and see what's there. And we see the throne. And after we see the throne as an ark. And up there in the Holy of Holies, we see three groups of people. We see four living creatures. Now, the numbers here are symbolic. I like to keep repeating this because some people get confused here. I don't know why, but I try to respond to the questions I keep hearing. It's not that there's just going to be four people in the company of the four living creatures, but four is the earth number. And these have to do with the ministrations of God in the earth. And then around the throne are 24 elders. And this speaks to us of that high priesthood. They have crowns. They have the ephod on, the garment, the white garment, and then they have the crown upon their head. And then there are seven, the messengers that we've been talking to you about in the morning. And so in the Holy of Holies, and set there, we see three companies of people. All right, so in the 91st Psalm then, what is happening? It says that their eyes are going to see the reward of the wicked. They now have been brought up into a place, and the tribulation cannot touch them. It's not a ranch somewhere, or a farm somewhere, or a piece of property. The Holy of Holies people have a refuge, literally, in the Holy of Holies. The rest of the body is going to have refuges too, and this is what God perhaps even now is beginning to bring forth in the earth. The unclothed woman, you know, and so on, is going to be protected. But the Holy of Holies people, their hiding place is their relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's no other hiding place. And so up there, they're going to see the reward of the wicked. And in Revelation, the four living creatures and the 24 elders and the seven stars look down from the heavenly Holy of Holies, and they see the reward of the wicked. They see the wrath of God poured out upon the earth. And all of this is in Revelation, beginning with the sixth chapter. They see it. And then what else do they do? It says in verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Not only are they up there seeing the reward of the wicked, but they are administering the judgment of the tribulation. I'm beginning to tell people this. I never understood this until a couple of months ago. And the Lord seemed to speak to my heart that his people were going to administer the tribulation. And so we see these seven stars, a part of the population of the Holy of Holies, and they are the ones that have the trumpets and the vials of his wrath. And they administer the tribulation. They are trampling the lion and all the snakes and the young lions and the dragons and all of these demonic forces and powers. They are trampling them in the tribulation period under their feet. You see what it means to come up into this? But yes, they administer. Moses administered the tribulation upon Jesus and released the people. And so they do this. All right, now, I've opened up this chapter, I think, enough to you so that you can go into it, and there's a lot more material, but our time is limited. So I want to go now over to the 27th Psalm. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of Jehovah, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in his temple. We found out the other night how to inquire in his temple, how to get a word from the Lord. One of my friends is greatly concerned about what is happening in the midst of the churches told me the other day, he said, what is needed is authority from God. Nobody has authority, no real authority. Some are trying to assume it by calling themselves apostles or letting other people call them apostles and so on. But there's no real authority in the midst of the spirit-filled people, no authority. That's why there's so much confusion. So, we inquire of the Lord. How do we inquire of the Lord? We told you the other night that we burn incense. This smoke you smell, you know, came from the fireplace. It didn't come from the incense. But by praising God and worshiping God, and then God speaks out of the cloud, the oracle comes forth. Okay. So here's where we inquire of the Lord. Here's where we get the word from the Lord. For in the time of trouble, and we're entering right now into that time of trouble, I'm telling people it's not a long ways off, it's now. He shall hide me in his pavilion. Now that word pavilion in the Hebrew is the same word that tabernacles comes from. Feast of Tabernacles. And out here in the outer court we have Passover, up here we have Pentecost, but up here we have the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a connection here, you see. All right, so he's going to hide me in his pavilion and in Sephter. Here's our Hebrew word again. In Sephter of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he will set me upon a rock. Where is the rock that the Old Testament talks about? That rock is up here in the Holy of Holies, or in terms of a mountain, it's in the top of a mountain. He's going to set me upon the rock. So here comes a time of trouble. And God takes a people, a handful of people, and he brings them into a changed body, and he brings them up into the Holy of Holies so that they're up there in that time of trouble. They're hidden in his pavilion and in Sephter of his tabernacle, and they're upon a rock. All right, now look at verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Where is the head in the body of Christ's church? A little while ago, you remember, we told you that here is the body of the body, but up here is the head of the body. And here it says that the head is going to be lifted up above the enemy. The head. Speaking now of these people that come into Sephter. Lifted up above their enemies. All right, then he says, and I will sing, yea, I will sing praises. Let's see, before that, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now keep this in mind. These people up there in Sephter are going to rejoice and they're going to sing. Why? Because people are suffering down on earth? No. We find the fulfillment of this in the book of Revelation. The four living creatures and the 24 elders, they fall down before the throne and they worship. And I think about four times in the book of Revelation, as they fall down in the Holy of Holies and they worship God. Why are they worshiping God? Because people are suffering? No. But because God is delivering suffering humanity from the power of Satan and breaking the forces of evil in the earth. That's why they're rejoicing. Jesus said, don't rejoice over the demons when you cast them out, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. All right, now let's go over to the 32nd Psalm. And we'll begin here with the 6th verse. For this shall everyone pray unto thee in a time when you may be found. And I want to speak to you very solemnly that right now is the time when God can be found to this. When the door to the Holy of Holies is closed, in this sense, there will be no finding of him to enter in. Right now, if you're going to be a part of the population of the Holy of Holies, right now is the time that he can be found. Now is the time to seek him. Now. Then it says, surely in the flood. Now keep in mind this word flood. In the flood of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. God promises them there's going to be a flood, but he says it's not going to come nigh these that are in Sephter. Thou art my hiding place, my Sephter. The Hebrew word again. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Again, the singing up there in the Holy of Holies in the time of trouble. All right, verse 8, he says, I will instruct thee. Here's another little scripture now that shows us how to come in. He said, I'll instruct thee, and I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. I will guide thee with mine eye. What does this mean? Let's say you've got a little boy, you know, and you make some cookies, and you got them in the cookie jar, and the cookie jar is up on the shelf, and you tell your little guy, now, don't eat any cookies. I'm going to be gone for a while. Don't eat any cookies. So you go out and you do something. After a while, you come back, and here he is standing on a stool, and he's got his little paw down in the cookie jar. All you have to do is to look at him. That little grubby hand comes out. Is that right? God says, I want you to be like that. Because beings that come up into the Holy of Holies are going to be guided by his eye. And you'll have times when the Lord will just look at you, and you know you're doing wrong. You're sensitive. And then he goes on here to say, be not as the horse or as the mule which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near thee. He says, don't be like a mule. When I was up at Bill Britton, I heard a man up there talk about mules. I guess this part of the country is noted for mules, is it? There used to be. Okay. I'm talking about mules and animals. And so this farmer had a mule that he couldn't break in. And so he decided that he was going to hire a professional mule trainer. And so he hired this man. The mule trainer came over and he says, I want you to train this mule. Okay. You really want the mule trained? Okay, I'll train him. So the first thing the mule trainer did, he got a tube before, and he began whaling the mule across the shoulders and back of the neck and so on. And the farmer, you know, is a very tender-hearted guy. He says, hey, what are you doing to my mule? The mule trainer said, well, you wanted me to train him, didn't you? He said, yeah. Well, why are you doing that? He says, well, when you train a mule, you first have to get his attention. That's what, why we get some of these things from God that we do. God's trying to get our attention. But he said, don't be that way, because in coming into step there, you're not going to be beaten into it. He says, I'm going to guide you with my eye. I'm going to guide you with my eye. Praise the Lord. He says that many sorrows shall be to the wicked. In tribulation, it's a time of sorrows, isn't it? There shall be unto the wicked, but he that trusteth is him about. And then again, we come back to that singing and rejoicing that we read about in Revelation. Remember I tell you that everything you find in the Old Testament and so on about these days will have a fulfillment that you can put your finger on in the book of Revelation. And so he says, be glad in Jehovah and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And so up there in Sephir, these who have been guided by the eye of the Lord, they're going to rejoice and shout for joy in that Holy of Holies. All right, everybody stand now and just take a deep breath. All right, now we're going to go over to the 30th chapter of Isaiah. That's all right, just take your time. Anybody else want to drink? Go back and get it. Nobody here but us. All right, the 30th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the 27th verse. Behold, the name of Jehovah cometh from far, burning. Remember that we have shown you that when Jesus appears, he is a burning personality. His eyes are like flames of fire. His feet are like brass burning in the furnace. His countenance, it has the aspect of the sun. He's a fiery person. You folks that want to know what the coming of the Lord is like, read Revelation 1 where he appears to the first fruit company. And he's a fiery person. And these that he apprehends in his hands are fiery people. It's a picture of fire. God is breaking in upon the human sea with fire. The day of the Lord, Malachi says, is going to burn like an oven. That's how the day of the Lord begins. It begins with fire. All right, so the name of Jehovah cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy, and his lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. His breath as an overflowing stream shall reach where? Where? To the midst of the neck. Remember the other song says that thou wilt lift my head above the flood. All right, this judgment then that is coming upon the face of the earth. It's a flood of fire. In Noah's day there was a flood of water. But now the earth is going
to be subjected to a flood of fire. Judgment, the anger of the Lord, the indignation of the Lord. His words are not going to be words of comfort and consolation, but they're going to be words that burn. His tongue is a devouring fire. And so it says that his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck, the fifth nation, with a strip of vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. But 29, ye shall have a song as in the night. Remember in the 91st song? That those that abide under the shadow of the Almighty and so on, those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide or have lodging for the night. All right? So you shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept. And the gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountains of the Lord. See, there are those that are coming up into the mountains of the Lord, Zion and Moriah. They're coming up into priesthood and into kingship. And so they have gladness of heart. They're coming up into the mountain of Jehovah, to the mighty one of Israel. And Jehovah shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and he will show the lightning down of his arm. What does that mean? I wonder if any of you parents have ever had this experience. Gotta have a place here rather than demonstration. And all day long, the kids have been fussing, always getting into not a lot of trouble, just a little bit of trouble, a lot of annoyances. And after a while, you've had all you can take, and you say, listen here, the lighting down of the arm. If God has tolerated all he can tolerate. And on this day, he said, I've had enough. But what is the lighting down of the arm? Remember when Jesus appeared? That he has a company of people in his hand. And this company of people in his hand is involved when he brings down his hand and says, I've had enough. And this company of people is going to begin to exercise the presence of God. And whenever you read about the right hand of God in the scriptures, it's not talking about, you know, that God just has a member called an arm. He's talking about the people that he seizes in his hand and in his arm. When he makes bare his arm, what is he doing? These people are in concealment now. But there's coming that moment when he's going to bare the arm and he's going to give a manifestation to his son. Another picture of the manifestation of the sons of God when God bears his arm. And in Revelation 1, you have this. His arm is bared when he appears and he has Segula in his hand. These first three people. These people now that are was being brought up into suffering. Okay. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard and so on. With the light, he's going to show the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger and with the flame of a devouring fire and with scattering and tempest and hailstones. They're talking about that day of trouble which they're entering into even now. And through the voice of Jehovah shall the Assyrian be beaten down with smote with a rod. Satan, Antichrist, whatever you want to interpret it here. The enemy is going to be beaten down. First in the holy place and then out in the outer court. And in every place where the ground is fast to pass, which Jehovah shall lay upon him, it shall be again with tablet and harp, and in battles of shaking will he fight with them. Rejoicing up there in the holy of holies, in Christ, up above the neck. The people that are above the neck. For Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. I want to say this afternoon, I still believe in hell and the lake of fire and the bottomless pit. We don't hear much about these things in these days, but they're still here, and we should know about these things. We're coming judgment. And so he's made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire. Why has he made it deep and large? Just as Jesus has gone up to carve out a place in the bosom of God, the exact size that is needed to receive those that want to come up into the Holy of Holies. So now, he's reaching down into Tophet, and he's carved out a place, the exact size needed to receive the wicked. At this point then, he's made it right there. And he says, the pile thereof is fire and much wood, the breath of Jehovah like a stream of brimstone. To kindle it You see, this is a fiery picture. All right, now I want to show you something here. In the days of Noah, there was a flood of water. And the flood kept rising. Kept getting higher and higher. And as the floods arose, they began to cover the mountains. Here the flood is coming up higher and higher and higher and higher. Do I need a blackboard? It's getting higher and higher.
Is the church going to go through the tribulation?
Yeah.
But it's going to be preserved supernaturally.
Like Noah and his family were preserved in the ark. But they're going to be in the earth during tribulation time. They'll be preserved. It's not a flood of water now. This is a flood of fire. The indignation of the Lord. So what does God say? God says that the head is going to be lifted up above the enemy. And he said that it will come to the midst of the neck, but it's not going to go any further. This is why God is calling unto us in these days. Come on up into the Holy of Holies. Come on up into the sun. This is our only security in that day of trouble. God's going to have places of refuge for these people down here, just as we had a place of refuge for the ark. And that's what God's talking to some of you about. But for this company of people, their hiding place is in Seth, the place of the Most High, in the radiance of God, under the wings. And God said, I'll give you abode here until the night is over. Now in the days of Noah, all the mountain peaks were covered. But in terms of the mountain, you see, there are some people that have climbed up into Zion and Moriah, up into the Holy of Holies. And this is that rock of refuge. And when you sing about the rock that is higher than I, this is really what you're talking about. We talk about so many things, we sing about so many things we really don't understand. But this is what you're talking about. And so, in that day, that flood of fire is not going to cover the mountain, but there's a place up on the mountain that the flood of fire cannot come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's why God is pleading with us. Now, in closing, I want to say this again. Sit there, before it can become an actuality to us, first has to be a relationship. In other words, you can't live just any kind of a life, and then when this flood comes, just have the Lord put you up there like that. Right now, we begin to build the relationship of the Holy of Holies right now. And so this is why we study about it. This is why we look into the scriptures, because it is now. It is a sudden thing. Right now, God has a people that is coming into the most holy thing. Annie in her vision has two visions there where God right now is taking her through the veil. Right now. Right now, in a certain sense, we're going through the veil. And she sees God changing her part. Every once in a while in my car, I have to change a part. The other day, alternator or something? Is that the name? Huh? Went out on me. Alternator, went out on me. I had to change the part. Last year, there was something in you that could get mad, you know. I felt remorse. But the Holy Ghost has been working on you. And the Holy Ghost changed the part. So when the same temptation came along, that part said, well, blessed be the name of Jesus. I bless you. You know. God right now is changing our heart. Right now, God is changing our nature. Right now, God is bringing into us a love for holiness. Right now, God is doing a work in our lives because he says if you come into step there, every unclean thing has to be left behind. Hallelujah. Right now, begin to build the relationship of the Holy of Holies. So that when the hour comes, and I believe that hour is right upon us, when the hour comes, that we can enter in with prepared fullness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What are you writing? You writing me a note? Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. I might just give you a little interesting thing here. I was reminded of this because, when was it? Last night or somewhere? We were singing about the olive trees, the green olive trees. You know, you don't know what that means, what you're singing about. We sing about some things, we don't know what the meaning is. See, out here at the present time, God is preparing olive trees. The Word of God tells us that,
When he comes, he's going to come in like manner as he went away. That doesn't mean, you know, sometimes you see a film, and there's a man, you know, and he goes and jumps on the diving board and goes off into the water, splashes. Then they turn the film around, and the man comes up out of the water onto the diving board and comes back. That isn't what he's talking about. There is a pattern of things. He went away in a certain pattern of things, and he's coming back in a certain pattern of things. All right. He went up from the olive trees when he ascended. When he returns, he's going to return to the olive trees. And right now, God has some olive trees. In the book of Zechariah, oh, I'm so sensitive here, you know. I got to get over to where am I going, Melvin? No. Oh. All right. God has some olive trees up there in the Holy of Holies. See? I can't explain all this to you, but these are the kings and priests, and Zechariah sees them as olive trees. And over here is this poor church that's trying to perfect itself. And so they elect apostles and prophesy unto themselves, pastors and all kinds of things. They're trying to perfect themselves. But we find there's a point where the olive trees send forth their branches. And this lampstand is different than any other lampstand. It has a big bowl on top of its head. See, in old days, the oil was brought from out here into the holy place. But in the next age, and this is the beginning, we're in the beginnings of it, the oil is going to be brought from up here, this way, and put into the bowl. Men today are trying to throw this bowl off. They don't want to hear the teaching of the sons of God. But God's going to put a bowl on their head. They've got to receive it. And they send forth their vows. And the oil comes through these vows and through the pipes and nourishes the lampstand with oil. Here's where the church is perfected. See? But you see, these olive trees are not up here now. They're in here, in the holy place. And so when the Lord appears, he's going to appear in the midst of the olive trees. I just had to tell you that since you know the song and didn't know what it meant. He's coming to the olive trees. And then he's going to take the olive trees up into the Holy of Holies, up into Sechar. That's another way of telling this story. I can tell it all over again from this viewpoint. Hallelujah. And then the church is going to be perfected. The church will never be perfected until the olive trees come into play. But you see, over here was a man in an ark. And finally, the ark came to a resting place. And he sends out a raven. I'm just condensing this thing real tight here. And the raven is perfectly happy out there. The raven is black as a type of the old nature, Satan, whatever you have here, you know. And he finds an old, rotten, dead cow floating around in the water. And he can land right on that. He's perfectly happy there. Then he sends out a dove. This dove doesn't like it. The dove comes back. Then after it sees me, he sends out the dove again. Hallelujah. And this time the dove comes back, and what does it have in its bill? Huh? An olive branch. And this is the sign that a new creation now has broken forth. It's the beginnings of a new creation. And we have the same thing in this context too. And there's some olive trees up here, and the Holy Ghost is going to bring them forth. And when they come through the veil and begin to minister, this is the beginnings of a new creation. Hallelujah. Olive. So when you think about the olive tree, this is what you're talking about. They're down here now, and he's going to return to the Mount of Olives, and what he does, he's going to hit that mountain right down the middle. You know why? Everybody's looking for everything to happen over there in the unholy land. And they're missing it. They're missing it. The mountain is going to be split. Why? Because a part of the Mount of Olives was called the Mount of Corruption. Solomon made palaces there for his foreign wives, his alien wives. And he built temples there before the foreign wives. You know, we've got a lot of foreign things in us. And when the Lord appears, he's coming, he's going to strip this Mount of Olives, and he's going to remove the corruption. Amen. And then he's going to take his olive trees and plant them, one on either side of the throne. Here's the priesthood, and here's the kingship, but with us they're united in one. And they nourish the church. And then, together, they all go out and deliver the kingdom, the outer court. Praise the Lord. Hey, why don't we sing that? Go ahead, lead us in it. Here we go. Thank you very much. God bless everyone again.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.